back again with another background briefing. Bye for now.
Hey, my name is Legacy from the Perfect 10 Club, and you're listening to 90.7 WGXC Accra.
Hello, I'm Rob Saffer, host of Overlooked, airing the fourth Thursday of each month from 7 to 9:30 p.m. on 90.7 FM WGXC Accra. We'll listen to Overlooked and underheard jazz and improvised music from its earliest years to what's happening right now.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street, you belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
Unhappy about something you heard on All Together Now? Or maybe you have a strong opinion about an issue. Energy, agriculture, the environment, the Common Core standards, or broadband access. Don't keep it to yourself. Call 518-291-9492 and leave a 3-minute message, and we'll play it on the air. Leave a 3-minute message, 518.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
You've tuned in to All Together Now, WGXC's regional look at the news from Hudson Valley and the Capital Region, from the Catskills to the Berkshires and beyond. I'm Tom Rowe, and today you'll hear all sorts of local news updates, weather, interviews, and more, plus community events and the song of the day on All Together Now.
This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the news. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
On air, in air, waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
We take you now to
this radio broadcast.
You are tuned in to All Together Now, a collaborative one-hour news show for community radio stations in the Capital Region and New York's Hudson Valley. All Together Now features contributions from the public, along with programmers at WOOC in Troy and WGXC in Accra, featuring local and regional news, weather updates, and newsmaker interviews. Next, the national headlines from Public News Service.
Welcome to the Public News Service Daily Newscast for Friday, September 21st, 2018. I'm Mary Sherman. We are covering stories from around the nation, including a victory for safety for nuclear site workers, President Trump chastises Republicans for not securing border wall funding, and a predicted spike in population fuels concerns about the need for care. Our top story, workers at the country's most contaminated nuclear site scored a win for safety in court this week. Eric Tegetoff has more from Southwest Washington.
Washington State, the Steam and United Association of Plumbers and Steam Fitters Local 598, and oversight group Hanford Challenge reached a settlement with the U.S. Department of Energy on a 2015 case over exposure to hazardous vapors that made workers sick. But head of Hanford Challenge Tom Carpenter says this isn't the kind of settlement where papers are signed and everyone walks away.
More along the lines of, here are the things you need to do. It's almost like parole, right, where you've got to keep out of trouble. But in this case, it's satisfy a number of conditions, all designed to advance protection for the Hanford workers as they're able to with new technologies.
More than 50 million gallons of radioactive waste are stored in tanks under the Hanford site. Carpenter says one key provision in the settlement requires the federal government to install technology that can detect and destroy toxic vapors in those tanks. Currently, workers are required to wear respirators. The Department of Energy says this settlement acknowledges its extensive actions to protect workers.
President Trump criticized Republicans on Thursday for not including funding for the southern border wall in a bill passed by the Senate this week. The $854 billion bill funds the military and other civilian agencies for the next year. It also includes a short-term fix to keep the government open into December. GOP leaders have said they would prefer to tackle the border wall after the November midterms. After a few days' wait, FEMA officials are in eastern North Carolina today, assessing the damage done by Hurricane Florence and creating the infrastructure to address the need. But local community groups are already several steps ahead of them. They include the North Carolina Hurricane Relief Effort and Community Rapid Response Network. The collective is made up of organizations that are no strangers to the people most in need of help. Courtney Patterson is helping coordinate their effort.
The reason we were able to reach these people because we were already in touch with them prior to this storm. And we realized that we needed to come together in solidarity with the people who are affected and to try to provide and meet their needs.
The network is made up of people from Eastern NC Table, the Environmental Justice Network, and the Farm Labor Organizing Committee, along with other grassroots groups. Patterson says they began preparing early last week, speaking with community groups from Hurricane Harvey about best practices for helping people. People are living longer in the U.S., but a new report says the trend comes with major health care challenges. We get the story from Tramiel Gomes in Virginia.
This foreshadows a greater need for assisted living, which the report notes many Virginia families can't afford. The average nursing care facility with a private room costs close to $95,000 a year, which ranks in the less pricey bottom half nationally. Assisted living is around $54,000 a year, which ranks 11th. For Wendy Fox Grage, a co-author of AARP's Across the State study, the statistics indicate one surefire trend.
You're going to see, over time, less caregivers per person who needs care.
The study predicts the population under age 65 will flatline in comparison, rising by only about 12% by 2050.
Meanwhile, Alzheimer's disease and related dementias in the U.S. are expected to double by 2060, affecting nearly 14 million older Americans, according to a new study. These latest findings, though similar to other estimates of the diseases and their growth, particularly focus on expected increases in minority populations. Non-Hispanic whites are expected to have the most Alzheimer's and dementia cases in the next decades, but those increases are expected to slow down and even out around 2030, while the disease among minority populations is expected to keep growing. Three people were killed Thursday in a workplace shooting in Maryland, along with a female shooter who took her own life. Several others were wounded in the incident, which officials believe was related to a work grievance. The NRA will hold its final National Police Shooting Championship in Albuquerque next week after the mayor called the event a bad fit for the community. Ross Brown has the latest.
Per a contract obligation, the event will go on as usual September 24th through the 26th, but next year it will have to find a new home. Miranda Viscoli with the group New Mexicans to Prevent Gun Violence says Albuquerque police have been involved in multiple shooting deaths in recent years, and she believes the shooting championship is insensitive to those who have lost family members.
The NRA is an extremist organization that promotes racism, fear-mongering, and violence. And also, we shouldn't be using our city resources to help fund their events. There is no reason why we should be giving the NRA a dime.
The NRA has held the event in Albuquerque since 2007, but Mayor Tim Keller argued that the city needs to spend money on fighting crime, especially gun violence.
Starting today, you can freeze your credit for free. In the wake of the massive data breach last year at Equifax that exposed personal information for about 148 million Americans, Congress amended the Fair Crediting Report Act to require reporting agencies to freeze reports for no charge. Some states had already required credit agencies to lift the charge, but the new law makes placing, lifting, and permanently removing freezes free, no matter where you live. Thanks for newsing and cruising with us. I'm Mary Sherman for Public News Service, member and listener supported, and online at publicnewsservice.org.
The National Weather Service in Albany predicts that Friday there's a slight chance of showers, about 20%, with thunderstorms possible after 2 p.m., mostly cloudy skies, with a high near 69. 60% chance of rain Friday night, low around 58. Then Saturday should be mostly sunny with a high near 65 and a low around 47. Sunday should also be sunny with a high near 62 and a low around 45. You're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, listener-supported, creative community radio.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Pink Zebra, the company that allows you to fragrance your personal space with special sprinkles created from scented soft soy wax. They do home parties, events, one-on-one shopping, and more. Information about Pink Zebra is available at area code 518-567-9420 or online at pinkzebrahome.com/sprinkles from Lacey. Pink Zebra. Change your fragrance. Change your life.
Next, we have these reports.
And now we're joined by Brian K. Mahoney from Chronogram Magazine, who's got a new story called A Guide to Columbia and Greene Counties, Hudson and Catskill in the September issue. Brian, are you there? Can you hear us?
Tom, I can hear you.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us today. What are your impressions of Hudson and Catskill, I guess?
Wow, so many. Well, you know, I've been covering the Hudson Valley for 20 years. And there have been great changes throughout the Hudson Valley, and Hudson and Catskill certainly embody some of those. And, you know, we do community profiles and Chronogram every month, and there are certain themes that, you know, travel throughout the whole of the Hudson Valley in our coverage area from, say, Peekskill in the south up to Hudson and Catskill in the north. And one of the themes that emerged in my reporting on Catskill and Hudson was this resurgence. People were very excited in both communities to talk about the great things that were happening. And certainly over the past, you know, decade and a half, certainly the people in Hudson and the people who have moved in have precipitated, you know, a great change. Some in that community would describe that using the kind of very loaded word, gentrification, and others, you know, would say that, you know, this community, which had been in the doldrums for decades, has now been reborn.
Yeah, from we're interested in your outside point of view. From here, you know, we get lots of complaints about Hudson is too expensive now, and people have to move to Catskill because they can't afford Hudson. The shops that were there have been knocked out. And then Catskill has had, since I've lived here 14 years, and this is the second or third time it's been on the precipice of like filling up all the storefronts and having coffee available after 2 p.m. for the first time and things like that. What is it? Does it seem like that from Ulster County?
Yeah, so I think Catskill's a little easier to talk about because I think what happens currently is different than what's happened in the past. You know, I think that in the early 2000s, you saw this organic growth in Catskill leading up to the crash in the real estate market, and then all the people who were there, well, not all, but many left. They were renters, and then they kind of like this kind of wave of kind of rent, the Renaissance wave in Catskill kind of, you know, went back out to sea, if you know, pardon the metaphor. But what's happened now, I think, is that you have many people who have moved in and have bought property. And so, you know, one of the people I spoke to was Alon Koppel. And, you know, people in Catskill certainly will know Alon. He owns the building that the Hilo Cafe is in. And so he's there, and he's grounded there, right? But he's just one person. But then if you look at what's happening with Lumberyard, Lumberyard has made, you know, this multi-million dollar, you know, tens of million dollar commitment to being in Catskill, and they're not going to go anywhere, you know. And I also spoke to the woman who was opening Foreland, and that's a huge project. And, you know, she's got these people who have deeper pockets who are coming to Catskill. I think that that is going to provide this real bedrock of stability for the smaller entrepreneurs, artists, and creative class to build on. So I think that's the difference we're seeing now.
Yeah, and Hudson, is that considered artist area or a music area, or what do people think of Hudson from down south?
Well, right. Well, certainly when we look at Hudson, you know, so I live in Kingston, and I, you know, Kingston is not as settled as, say, a Beacon or a Hudson is. And so my understanding is, and this is anecdotally told to me, that Hudson's population doubles in the summer on the weekends because there's this influx of people who are coming to spend time there. And so, you know, that is great and also puts a lot of strain on the community and also causes problems because then you start talking about Airbnb and short-term rentals, which are crowding out your normal rental market. And then there are other factors, you know, in Hudson, you know, with the housing market, you know, being pinched, you know, from the get-go, and affordable housing being a problem, you know, before you have the short-term rental problem. So it seems, you know, I spoke to Carol Osternick, who writes the blog Gossip of Rivertown, and, you know, her point was Hudson is a success, but now it needs to manage its success. And so I think that with the new mayor in Hudson, Rick Rector, who doesn't have this political, you know, allegiance to anyone, and it just seems like there's a bit of fresh air coming in Hudson on the political front, you know, I think there's a possibility for some type of, you know, slight change there. But, you know, Hudson's a tiny city, you know, it's just like Beacon is. You know, how do you do something when you can't really build a lot more? You can't create more water, you know, for these communities. Like, there's infrastructure that is limited, and so then what happens? And then you're going to get people who get crowded out, whether it's the Greenport, whether it's the Catskill, whether, you know, when I spoke to Alon Koppel about Catskill, he's like, you know, maybe Catskill is going to become the next Brooklyn, and I'll have to move to Syracuse. You know, there is this dark specter in people's minds about, you know, how their communities are changing. And when the market forces of capitalism run unchecked, you know, which they do in our communities. I mean, Kingston right now, we have two billionaires who are buying up a lot of commercial property here. There's no mechanism in place to stop them. And so our communities are dealing, I think, with a lot of money coming into them, and we're unsure what to do next.
And Hudson has the same thing. One foundation has bought most of the buildings and is sitting on many of them, not doing anything about some of them, donating some of them. One of them has become the library and such. I'm wondering if I think I've heard that Woodstock is passing some Airbnb laws. I'm wondering if and that seems to be the biggest issue in Hudson, is that there are all these rental properties that are not being rented to residents, but to people coming up for the weekend, and they sit empty the rest of the time. Is that a problem throughout the Hudson Valley?
It is. And, you know, I spoke to Rick Rector, the mayor of Hudson, about this, and he had an interesting comment. So the counties, whether it's Columbia County or Dutchess County or Ulster County, they're all dealing with this on the county level because, you know, the bed tax that the inns and the hotels and the, you know, licensed B&Bs pay go towards tourism on the county level. So they're all, you know, tied up that way. The Airbnbs do not have that. So the counties are trying to work to identify all the Airbnbs and the VRBO properties and then tax them. But the trick of it is going to be is that the county does not do the enforcement. And so when I spoke to Rick Rector, he said, you know, so here's what's going to happen in Hudson. Columbia County is going to say, okay, we've identified all these properties. Now, municipalities like Hudson, you go do the enforcement. And he said to me, I don't have anybody to go do that. We can't afford to do that. So he goes, it's basically unenforceable.
Hmm. Another issue here is the area was once full of resorts and hotels and such after the World War II. They've all closed, and now there are no hotel rooms to rent out. And on weekends, you can't find a place. There's a couple in the works, but I'm wondering also if this is a Hudson Valley-wide problem, that there's not enough hotel and motel rooms.
Well, Yes. You know, if you talk to the tourism directors of any of the counties in the Hudson Valley, they will say, which surprised me when I was first talking to them about this issue, I thought that Airbnbs they would be against, and they said, no, they're a godsend because they're places for people to stay because we don't have enough hotels as it is, you know. And so in communities like New Paltz, in communities like Woodstock, in communities like Rhinebeck, they have, they're very careful, as you know, and I applaud them on this, about what gets built. So when you're building hotels, they're very tricky to build. There's a hotel called Wildberry Lodge trying to be built in New Paltz. It's going to be a very, like, 130-room inn, and it's been in the planning stages for almost 10 years. So, you know, trying to get hotels built is really a tough sell in a lot of these communities. And so, you know, the for tourism, Airbnb, you know, plays a large role.
Were you surprised about anything when you talked to people in Hudson and Catskill?
You know, I was surprised in Hudson, particularly by the spirit of optimism when I spoke to people like Melissa Ostermar, Carol Osternick, Rick Rector. People felt like there was a political sea change that had taken place and that the entrenched political class had been shifted out and that there was a space now for something else to happen. Everyone acknowledged that there were problems in Hudson that were big and daunting and remained to be seen how they were going to be dealt with. And they, you know, are entrenched problems from, you know, urban renewal back in the 60s on forward. And, you know, it's going to take a long time to try and figure that out. But people seem to sense that something exciting was happening in Hudson. And in Catskill, there was a similar feeling of there was a corner that had turned. You know, Betsy Jacks at the Cole House, you know, said, you know, I've been in this job for 15 years. It really feels like now there are, you know, other organizations moving in like Lumberyard, like Foreland, other, you know, small entrepreneurs that were opening up businesses there that really were going to create the foundation for long-term prosperity.
People up here are kind of aware of like the O Positive Festival in Kingston and the jazz at Quinn's and the jazz series down the, and there. Are you guys aware of like Soundscape and events at High Low and the Half Moon?
For sure, certainly. You know, in the magazine, we cover those events all the time, and you know, for us, you know, Helsinki is an amazing venue that gets amazing acts. I travel up to Helsinki and Half Moon, and I'm up at Basilica all the time for their amazing events. And, you know, High Low and, you know, Catskill, you know, I haven't made it up to Lumberyard yet, but, I mean, that's going to have to be, you know, when I talk to people about what they should be doing up here, I mean, Lumberyard, you know, just given the quality of performers that are getting in there, is going to have to be, you know, on the map as one of the premier cultural destinations in the Hudson Valley. Like, it's gone from, you know, 0 to 100, you know, just by the sheer force of its own will.
It seems like to me, and you probably have a better take on this with the magazine, but it seems like the Hudson Valley in general is getting more on the beaten path of like indie rock bands and guitarists from Nigeria and great jazz artists. It seems like more and more they're coming throughout all the way from Troy to Beacon. Is that true, or do you think?
Yeah. No, there's no question about that. I mean, it used to be that musicians, rock musicians, you know, they would hang out around Woodstock, you know, from, you know, Peter Yarrow, Peter, Paul, and Mary, who introduced Dylan to Woodstock. And so Woodstock was the scene, you know, the Joyous Lake. You know, there's a great quote from one of the sidemen who played with Orleans and all those guys in the 70s. And he said, you know, I probably dropped more coke into the carpet at the Joyous Lake than most people did, you know, in their lifetimes, right? So that was like a rock scene, and you were really there. Now, you know, Bryce Dessner lives outside of Hudson, right? The guy from The National. Eleanor Friedberger lives in High Falls here in Ulster County. You know, people are just spread out. And, you know, all these musicians, they have friends. And so, you know, I know that the whole Steady just recorded an album in Woodstock. And if these people are all, you know, bringing everybody else up, whether it's to Beacon or, you know, what have you. I mean, the Hudson Valley is, you know, really on the tourist map. I just was shown a magazine from Japan today, and it was, you know, a Japanese tourism magazine, and they had a 20-page spread on the Hudson Valley.
Oh, wow.
Kingston, you know, New Paltz. And so for Hudson, they had like a shot of Little Deb's Oasis and the Silica Hudson, you know. And so, I mean, the Hudson Valley is on the map. People are coming.
All right. What else is in, I guess, the September issue, and what else do you want to tell us about that's coming in the October issue of Chronogram? We're talking to editor Brian Mahoney, if you just joined us.
Well, I will say something that we are working on. So this year, 2018, is our 25th anniversary of Chronogram. And so we're throwing a big party, a birthday party for ourselves on November 10th at the Fuller Factory here in Kingston. And more details can be found on our website at chronogram.com. So we're going to have a big dance party with DJs and all that kind of fun stuff, and a big birthday cake. And we're going to be celebrating our continued survival in this tough, media market. Certainly,
yeah. There was there was a day last week or the week before when the Alt and the Village Voice both closed.
Oh, the Alt closed. I didn't know that.
Yeah,
that's too bad. After Metroland, I felt there was a space there, but. You know, it's tough going. I spoke with Lynn Sloniker, and I said, what's your number one challenge, being station manager? And she said, financial sustainability. So it's a real thing.
So is it tough for Chronogram, or how are you doing in the 25th year?
Yeah, well, we've changed the way that, we do business. So we still publish Chronogram, and we have other magazines we publish, Upstate House, Explore the Hudson Valley, our tourism publication. But one of the ways in which we have shifted our financial sustainability has been to basically launch a marketing agency. So we work with tourism boards to put out, we publish every year the Columbia County Travel Guide. We work with the Office of Tourism in Columbia County. We work with the Dutchess County Office of Tourism. We have clients, in the corporate sector, and we do marketing work for them, and that, it has provided us a level of stability that, our declining advertising space, we looked at it over time, and we said, my point of view on this is that people will always want magazines. They will always want physical printed matter, but the way that people market themselves has shifted, Google and Facebook, eat our lunch every day with advertising. But that doesn't mean that there's not a place for brand advertising in print materials, just like there's not, a space for underwriting on the radio.
Yes, it's Facebook and Google control what percentage of online advertising? It's like 80% or something?
Yeah, it's a massive amount. And, it's terrible to, actually, and they use our content as well. I mean, I just listened to an interview with Jared Lanier, who, he just wrote a book, delete all of your social accounts right now. You'll have a better life. And so at the same time, it's a very useful device for me to connect with people on stories, right? I'm just on an editorial and work level.
Yeah, I tried to not do Facebook for a month there, and it's impossible with journalism. You have to find out information there.
Right. So we're a bit over the barrel with the social media companies, but I think there is a path forward for journalism, for local independent media. We have to engage our supporters and they want to support us. They don't want us to go away. People say to me, if I went out and I did an appeal and said, Chronogram is going to go away if you don't support us, I know people would step up. I know that you guys probably have the same idea. You go out and you say, we need your support, and people respond.
And chronogram.com is the website if you're tuning in and want to find out more. We just have less than 2 minutes left. You want to plug anything else in the issue or the next issue?
Let's see. I'm working on a big profile at the moment of the community of New Paltz. And, New Paltz, it's funny, when I go out to these communities, there are so many of the same issues facing communities in the Hudson Valley. Small towns that have lots of tourism, that trying to create good jobs. I mean, that's something, economic development. How do you create, good jobs? I spoke with Melissa Ostermarsch. She and Tony Stone are creating a film production studio, and they're hoping that not only will people come in from outside the region to film and do film production there, but they can also create a workforce development model for the young people of Hudson, right? So those types of, like, small-scale models seem to be the wave of the future, because we're not going to get big factories that are moving here into the Hudson Valley. And so, you know, when I hear stories like that, I feel confident that there is some progressive movement, you know, in our communities that hopefully can, like, pull everybody up by their bootstraps, as opposed to imposing some will from the outside with some.
WGXC 90.7 FM Accra, hands-on community radio for Greene and Columbia counties.
Anyway, listen to WGXC 90.7 FM from Accra. WGXC believes in hands-on two-way radio. We provide public access to all the airwaves, giving individuals and organizations the means to tell their own stories. WGXC listeners make radio. Participate in on-air conversations, record public meetings for broadcast, contribute content, host their own shows, and more. The G and the C stand for Greene and Columbia Counties, New York. WGXC is listener-supported, and we serve 78,000 potential listeners in the Upper Hudson Valley, in addition to listeners from across the globe online. Our programs can be surprising, while wholesome are very often experimental and almost always entertaining. Program applications are accepted year-round, and no prior radio experience is required. So if anybody out there has a, you know, something to offer that they really think they want to get out there, this is a place to go.
Wave Farm programs are made possible, in part, by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of Governor Andrew Cuomo and the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Andy Warhol Foundation for the Visual Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program administered in Greene County by the Greene County Council on the Arts, the Alexander and Marjorie Hover Foundation, the Foundation for Contemporary Arts, the T. Backer Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors.
I'm sorry, could you reread the resolution?
Thank you.
actually.
It's done.
Excellent.
With the WGXC News Update. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org to find out more about anything you hear here. Nolan Hicks and Carl Campanelle report in the New York Post that several members of Governor Andrew Cuomo's staff were aware of the wording on a mailer that linked Cynthia Nixon with anti-Semitism that went out just before the primary election. While Cuomo and most of his staff denied knowledge of the campaign flyer, quote, campaign manager Maggie Moran was copied on discussions about the mailer, and her top aide, Adam Steinberger, was involved in its creation 2 weeks before the election, interviews and documents obtained by the Post show, unquote. And, according to the paper, Jill Desrosiers, who works with Cuomo's top aide, Melissa DeRosa, got a copy of the email. An email exchange an anonymous source recalls between Steinberger and Cuomo aide Larry Schwartz reads, quote, Larry, you okay with this? Unquote. Schwartz reportedly responded, quote, not sure, but not going to hold it up, unquote. But the Cuomo camp denies the close involvement. Quote, neither Maggie nor Jill were on the emails where the specific contents of the mailer were discussed, unquote, said Cuomo's spokesperson Liz Smith. Read the full story in the New York Post. Yancey Roy reports in Newsday that the Republican nominee for governor, Mark Molinaro, said September 18th that current governor Andrew Cuomo is, quote, like some deranged Wizard of Oz. Pay no attention to the corruption in my administration. Look over there. It's Donald Trump. The governor wants to talk about nothing more. He's created his own boogeyman, unquote. Then, 2 hours later, Cuomo was holding a, quote, unity rally in New York City where opposition to Trump was the main theme. Cuomo's spokesperson Liz Smith responded to Molinaro's quote, saying, quote, it's no surprise why Trump mini-me Mark Molinaro wants to avoid talking about Donald Trump and how they share the same anti-choice, anti-LGBTQ, and pro-NRA policies, unquote. Molinaro is currently the Dutchess County executive. Read the full story in Newsday. William J. Kimball writes in the Daily Freeman that while Representative John Faso, Republican from Kinderhook, votes with Donald Trump's positions 90% of the time, he says, quote, he can stand up to his Trump-allied campaign contributors if Special Counsel Robert Mueller reports that the president has broken the law, unquote. Faso also says, quote, I'm not influenced by a campaign donation. I appreciate the support I received to run an election, but I'm my own person and I will make decisions by what I think is in the public interest and nothing else, unquote. Over the years, Kimball says, Faso has received campaign contributions from Vice President Mike Pence, Trump's media lawyer spokesperson Rudy Giuliani, U.S. Representative Devin Nunes, U.S. National Security Advisor John Bolton, and Trump himself. Quote, I've said right from the beginning that Mr. Mueller should complete his investigation and let the chips fall where they may, unquote, he said. Quote, we don't know what he's going to conclude. Obviously, he's making progress on his investigation, but I'm going to wait and see what he says, and I'm going to wait and call it as I see it at that point, unquote. Faso's Democratic opponent Antonio Delgado would not criticize the congressperson on this issue. Quote, I don't have a window into John Faso's mind, unquote, Delgado said. Green Party candidate Steve Greenfield says there is already enough evidence to impeach Trump, but then says, quote, I believe that John Faso actually could weigh the Mueller report without his donation sources being the principal influence on how he's going to feel about that, unquote, despite Faso not agreeing with him on the impeachment evidence. Read the full story in the Daily Freeman. Andrew Sullender reports in City and State that three-fourths of donations to John Faso and Antonio Delgado, the major party candidates running in the 19th congressional district election this November, have come from out of the district. A third of their fundraising totals, Delgado has raised $2.7 million and Faso $2.3 million, comes from outside New York State. But Delgado only gets 7% of donations from political action committees, and just over half of his donations are over $1,000. Several employees at his former law firm, Akin Gump, have donated nearly $200,000 to him, which is the largest single group donating to the Democrat. By contrast, 35% of Faso's fundraising comes from PACs, and 50% of his contributions are over $1,000. Faso has received $271,000 from the financial sector, his largest source of money. Diana and Robert Mercer, the billionaire backers of Steve Bannon and Brexit, hedge fund manager Daniel Loeb, and three members of New York City's billionaire Tisch family are Faso's largest contributors, according to City and State. Quote, the only people I am beholden to are the people right here in our district, unquote, Delgado said, despite the amount of money he has raised from outside the district. Delgado also is not quite truthful, saying, quote, we have taken a pledge not to take any corporate PAC money, unlike my opponent John Faso, unquote. Faso's campaign would not comment. Read the full story in City and State. This has been the WGXC News Update. Go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information.
Next, we have these reports.
Former Syracuse Mayor Stephanie Miner is running for governor of New York on the Serve America movement line. She's a Democrat, but she had something to say about a Democrat running for governor on New York Now this week. Here's an excerpt.
We've seen that the leadership in Albany is corrupt, it's wasteful, and it's not solving problems. And there's no room for me in Andrew Cuomo's Democratic Party, as evidenced by the fact that you had a Democratic Party that allowed an anti-Semitic mailer to go through, and virtually the entire leadership just kind of turned their nose and said, oh, it wasn't me. That's the kind of obnoxious, totally unacceptable political campaigning that people of goodwill need to stand up and say no, whether it's a Democrat, a Republican, or an independent.
The National Weather Service in Albany predicts that Friday there's a slight chance of showers, about 20%, with thunderstorms possible after 2 p.m., mostly cloudy skies, with a high near 69, 60% chance of rain Friday night, low around 58. Then Saturday should be mostly sunny with a high near 65 and a low around 47. Sunday should also be sunny with a high near 62 and a low around 45. You're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, listener-supported, creative community radio.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street, you belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
Next, it's time for the Hudson Valley Song of the Day, a performance from a musician visiting the Capital Region or Hudson Valley, or who regularly plays around these parts.
Somewhere out in Clavering, rocking.
That was Claverick from Sebado's Eric Gaffney, who lives in western Massachusetts, but apparently spends time in Columbia County.
Oh, honey, I just heard some terrible news.
What's that, honey?
The radio station WGXC is going off the air.
Oh, my goodness. Did you know you could donate by check? Give them a check to WGXC 5662 Route 23, Accra, New York, 12405.
And you can also go to their website, wavefarm.org or wgxc.org, and donate monthly, a sustaining supporter.
Oh, I'll be a sustaining supporter, honey, once we get up to that St. Charles Hotel.
Oh, yes, I love the bar there.
There's no bar there.
That's what I meant.
Friday, September 21st, tune in to Special Sounds on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM. At 2 p.m. on Hudson Valley Sound, we'll hear the entire concert from the night before at Hilo and Catskill of Pamela Stickney playing the theremin with Brian DeWan playing accordion, piano, and synthesizers. That's from 2 to 4 p.m. with the show only lasting about an hour and a half, and there's some other special treats afterwards. Also, 7 p.m., tune in guest DJ Bert Murder and his Disaster Radio with music, interviews, call-ins, and more. 9:30 p.m., we'll go to a special remote broadcast at Hilo and Catskill with Austin Bunk and Patrick Collins. Austin Bunk plays banjo and harmonica. Tune in 9:30 p.m. for the end of the show. You can tune in the beginning of the show on a web stream at wgxc.org. Click on Listen Now. Scroll down to find the web stream. Tune in to Special Transmission Art Broadcast Saturday, September 26th on Wavefarm's WGXC and Standing Wave Radio with Donald Trump Theater at 9:05 a.m. This week, Hurricane is the name of the episode. Our hero feels the walls closing in as the storm brews outside. Then Eric Miller and Patrick Quinn are on the radio Sketchpad show at 11 a.m. Saturday afternoon show features a conversation with radio artist Joan Schumann from Earlid and Adrian Lilly about radio without scaffolding, the current state of experimental podcasting. Then the Framework show at 7 p.m. returns from summer vacation featuring Dmitry Vasilev. New Wavefarm artist and resident Clara Liu is live at 8 p.m. in the WGXC Wavefarm studio with mid-century electronic sounds. Tune in to WGXC.org or 90.7 FM all day Saturday. Alan Skerritt has hosted the Crossroads in Rhythm show since WGXC began broadcasting in 2011. But Thursday, September 20th was his final day on the air, and here are his final moments.
What time I have left for, and it's something that you recognize, and certainly something that I feel is a part of who I am and what I've done in my lifetime.
Okay, you got your national anthem. It's coming up right now. Paul Anka and Don Costarenko. And now the end is near.
Frank Sinatra in My Way, might I say Our Way.
My friend, I'll make it clear, state my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full. I travel each and every highway. And more, much more than this, I did it my way. Regrets, I've had a few, and then again, too few to mention. I did what I had to do. I saw it through without exemption. I planned each charted course, each careful step along the byway, and more, much more than this, I did it my way. I guess there were times when I guess you knew I bit off more than I could chew.
I had my fill, my share of losing. And now as tears subside, I find it all so amusing to think I did all that. And may I say, not in a shy way, oh no, no, not me. I did it my way. For what is a man? What has he got? If not himself, then
he has not
to say the things he truly feels, and not the words of one who kneels. The record shows I took the blows and did it my way.
Okay, you got your national anthem.
There was Frank Sinatra in Vegas, I believe, calling that song the national anthem. But no song I've ever heard best expresses the way I like to feel that I've lived my life a little bit in the less than a conventional way of doing things. And I've made friends, lost friends, and because of it, never had some friends. In any event, I certainly have had many friends as I have been doing my best to provide you all with musical and commentary, entertainment, and and I'd like to thank some of the people who, as I mentioned some earlier, but again, there's Dave and Sherry Bolovice. There have been Jill Salerno, of course. I'd like to wish a happy birthday belatedly to my sister Diane Skerritt, who lives in Woodbridge, Virginia, and also to Sheila Ramsey, my dear friend of a lifetime, who celebrated her birthday on September the 10th, and I missed it, damn it. Dave and Sherry Bolovice, as I said, Kim Singletary, and all the people who have been so, Elena here, who went off to do other things but are still involved with GXC. And my dear friend, Liz Loniger, who is sitting outside, who has been my friend longer, many, many years, and has been an alter ego person for me. And she and her husband, Steve, just dear friends of mine. I'd like to thank them for their support. Sam, wherever you are, Sam, thank you for who you've been. I can't remember or think of anybody else, but I want to thank you all for listening. Claudia and Quinn, for your calls today. And Claudia, to your husband, for calling back and providing me with the information, which I will send on to the Columbia County Reentry Program, of which I am a board member, to contact this organization that you recommended to us. So to all of you, I'm just kind of waiting to be cut off the air. So I'm just babbling as I'm waiting to be cut off the air by our automatic machine here. And according to this, it says 1:59 and 53 seconds. So by all...
Every Friday on WGXC from noon until 2, check out the Sugar Shack Jukebox featuring decades of funk, R&B, rock, pop, soul, and much more. That's every Friday on WGXC after the noon headlines until 2 p.m.
You're listening to Radio Wonderland, live on WGXC, radio made from radio.
Tune in Joshua Free's Radio Wonderland, Saturdays at 10:30 a.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM for a live remix of New York City Morning Radio on WGXC, Creative Community Radio.
Nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. If we wish to make it softer, we will tune it to a whisper. We will control the horizontal. We will control the vertical. We can roll the image, make it flutter. We can change the focus to a soft blur, or sharpen it to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit quietly and we will control all that you see and hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your television set. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits.
This is Echo. You are listening to WGXC Acra, creative, community, magical radio.
I'm a roadrunner, honey.
Thank you.